Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. Risen indeed. Hallelujah. Continuing our sermon series today on Christ and the Old Testament. So far, we've looked at the stories of the Bronze Serpent, the Day of Atonement, and the Four Kingdoms of Daniel. And we've seen Christ in each of these. Today, I'd like to look with you at another Old Testament event, namely the Passover. The Passover is a major event, perhaps the central one of the whole Old Testament. I met a Jewish rabbi once in Wisconsin who told me that the Passover is at the heart of the Jewish faith. The Jews celebrate every year around Easter time, and they are to always remember how God rescued them from the hand of their enemies and brought them out of Egypt with a great almighty hand in the event of the Passover. But do the Jews today, by and large, see what the Passover is really about? Or is it hidden from their eyes? In other words, what I'm saying is the Passover about Jesus Christ? Did this event point forward to Jesus, just as we saw in the other events of the Bronze Serpent, the Day of Atonement, and the Four Kingdoms of Daniel? So today, let's look together at the story of the Passover and see how God might encourage us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So let's just set the stage for this. In the days of Joseph, the sons of Israel went down to Israel, from Israel, to live in Egypt because of a great famine that was in their own land. And they went down and were welcomed by Pharaoh. The year was about 1876 BC. And they remained in Egypt about 400 years and multiplied exceedingly, which means what? They had a lot of children. By the time 400 years passed, they had about 600,000 men. So they were definitely being fruitful and multiplying. Then we read in Exodus chapter 1, we read, "Now there arose a new king, new Pharaoh over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war befall us, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad, and the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel." Now, isn't that the case? Every time the enemies of God's people try to crush and destroy God's people, they multiply and increase exceedingly. So, and this is all by God's hand. But Pharaoh wanted to cut them down to size. Therefore, it says in verse 22, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live.'" So his plan was to slay the sons of Israel, and he slew all the boys with a great bloodshed and cast them into the Nile, to the Nile crocodile. And so the people were hard-pressed, and they were in sore straits under the hands of this tyrant Pharaoh and his taskmasters. But one day, a Hebrew woman conceived and gave birth to a son, and she hid him for 3 months from Pharaoh's soldiers. And then, to save his life, she let him go in a basket in the river, and he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and he became the grandson to Pharaoh and was raised in his house. And his name? Moses, God's deliverer. And when he was a young man, about 40 years old, right, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew, and he looked this way, he looked that way, and seeing no one, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. But the thing was known to Pharaoh, and when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. So Moses fled from Pharaoh and ran away into the wilderness, and he stayed in the land of Midian. So Moses lived in tents in the wilderness for about 40 years. And there he met Jethro, who became his father-in-law. He met the beautiful Zipporah, his wife. And he was a shepherd in the wilderness for 40 years. But one day, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, to the mountain called Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, but not consumed. And he said, "I'll turn aside and see." And God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and a broad land, flowing with milk and honey. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may lead forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." So what was Moses' response? No way. He backed off. He was shocked. But God commanded him, God commissioned him and encouraged him and told him about his mission. Was it going to be an easy mission? God said to Moses, "I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in it. And after that, he will let you go." So what happened? Moses went back to Egypt, and he said to Pharaoh, "Thus says God, let my people go." But Pharaoh refused and hardened his heart. So God stretched out his hand over Egypt and smote it with his great and mighty wonders. He turned the staff, remember, into a serpent. He turned the Nile into blood. He sent a plague of frogs, gnats, flies, then the plague on the cattle, the thunder, the hail, and the fire from heaven, the plague of locusts, and the plague of darkness, a darkness to be felt. But still Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let them go until that great plague came, the most dread of all, the last one, the last great and mighty wonder, the Passover of the Lord. So now we're up to it. Let's read about the Passover. The Lord said to Moses, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and afterwards he'll let you go hence. And when he lets you go, he will drive you away completely." So we pick it up here now in Exodus chapter 12. Here's the Passover. "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month they shall take every man a lamb, according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat them. In this manner you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And this blood shall be a sign for you upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall fall upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And what happened? It says that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Remember, what did Pharaoh do to the Hebrew children? He slew them all. And this is really God's vengeance upon Egypt for slaying and shedding the blood of his people. And he slew them from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and on all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where one was not dead. And he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and go forth from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go. Serve the Lord, as you have said, and be gone. And so they left. At the end of 430 years, Israel marched triumphantly out of Egypt by the Lord's hand. Verse 42, it was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. There's the Passover, friends. So let me give you a little illustration like we did the last couple of weeks. Here's the door to the Hebrew homes. And what do you need to do? In order to, when the Lord came for vengeance upon the people of Egypt, the salvation of his people was to be in a lamb, a male, a year old, without blemish. They were to take this lamb, they were to slay it on the 14th day of the month, toward the evening, and they place its blood upon the two doorposts of their houses, and upon the lintel of the house here. And when God went through the land of Egypt on that night, he would come to the door of the Hebrew houses, and he would see the blood of the lamb, and he would pass over that house, and the plague would not enter it. And so this is what happened. God brought vengeance upon Egypt, but his people he saved. And they came out to freedom, to the good and broad land flowing with milk and honey. That, my friends, is the Passover, for God passed over them. But now we need to ask this question today. How does all this relate to Jesus Christ? We saw in all these other Old Testament events, bronze serpent, Day of Atonement, and we're going to look at more down the line next month about Christ in the Old Testament. Is this about Jesus Christ as well? Well, this was an event, friends, that took place in the old days. And God really did, in history, save his people out of the land of Egypt. But the ultimate purpose of the Passover was not just to show how God could save the Jews then, but how God would save the Jews and the Gentiles, the whole world, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the true Passover Lamb. That's what it's all about. It's not just a little about Jesus, not just a lot about Jesus. It is about Jesus Christ, to point us forward to him so that you can be encouraged and know today in the forgiveness of your sins and your standing with God. So, how do we know this? Is Pastor pulling this out of a hat like a rabbit and a magician? How do we know that this event of the Old Testament really is speaking about Jesus Christ? Well, let's take a little look here at the parallels between this and us first. The Jews were in slavery in Egypt. They were slaves, right? All people, we know, the whole world was in slavery to sin. Same thing. Jesus told the Jews, John 8, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. If you believe that you are slaves of sin and could not free yourselves, say amen. All right, so we're parallel in that. The Jews at that time were ruled by a ruthless tyrant named Pharaoh. But we know all people in the world today and then were ruled by a greater Pharaoh, namely the prince of the power of the air, the god, small g, of this world, the devil. What does Jesus say to the Jews in John 8? He says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. It has nothing to do with the truth, for there's no truth in him. So we all were in the same place as they, slaves under the hand of a great and mighty tyrant. And what was it like? Well, the Jews suffered greatly at the hand of Pharaoh and his taskmasters. All people suffer greatly under the hand of the devil, the greater Pharaoh, and his taskmasters, the demons. and the power of sin and death we were all subject to. But just as in those days God heard their cries and saw their affliction and had compassion, so God looked on the whole world. He saw our affliction. He knew our sufferings. He had compassion upon us. God sent them a deliverer to bring them out. He sent Moses. God sent us a deliverer to bring us out, Jesus Christ. For Moses said this. This is really cool. We could do a whole sermon on this someday. Maybe we will. Moses says this at the end of his life in Deuteronomy. He says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. Him you shall heed." And God said, "I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Moses prophesied that this greater Moses was going to come, a greater deliverer, and God would put his words in his mouth. What did Jesus say? John chapter 12. Jesus told his disciples, "I've not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has bidden me." Do you believe that Jesus is the greater deliverer? Say amen. Amen, amen he is. And so God brought them out with a strong and mighty hand, with great and mighty wonders and miracles. What did Jesus do? Same thing. It says in Matthew 11, Jesus said to go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me. Signs and wonders? Amen. And the final act by which God saved his people out of Egypt was what? The Passover. Through the blood of a lamb. And that is how God has saved you as well. Through Jesus Christ, the blood of a lamb. This whole thing, friends, was there to point us forward, to give us a preview of how God would act for you personally to save you. All right. Is Pastor pulling this out of a hat? I've made some parallels here between the old and the new. How do we know Jesus is really, though, your Passover lamb, so that when God's vengeance comes upon the world, God will pass over you and the plague shall not enter your heart and soul? How do you know that? Well, let's take a look. Jesus is called the Lamb of God in the Bible. John the Baptist one day was walking along and he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist testified that he's the Lamb. How do we know he's the Passover Lamb? Well, what do we read in Exodus chapter 12 about the Passover? God said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old." Was Jesus a male? Yes. Was he young? Yes. Was he without blemish? He had no sin. Jesus is the Passover Lamb. How about this one? In Exodus 12:46 of the Passover, God said, "In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break a bone of it." You are not to break a bone of this Passover. He was slain, but you don't break his bones. What did John the Apostle say in his gospel of Jesus on the cross? "Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, 'Not a bone of him shall be broken.'" Are you going to disagree with John the Baptist? John the Apostle? John the Apostle says that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Not a bone of him was broken. This is in fulfillment of the Passover. And more important, and this is really the clincher for me, when did Jesus die? When was he killed? When was he crucified? If you look at Matthew 26 and many other places, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Pretty neat. God foreordained, just like he did in the days of Daniel. Last week's sermon, he predicted that it would come in the days of the Roman Empire, 500 or 600 years ahead of time. Well, this is 1,400 years ahead of time. God tells us at what time in the Jewish calendar year Jesus is going to be crucified. Namely, I'm going up to Jerusalem. After 2 days, the Passover is coming, and I will be delivered up. Jesus is saying, I am the Passover lamb. What are we celebrating here today? The Lord's Supper. What is that? That's the Passover Supper. That's when he instituted and began the Lord's Supper on the Feast of Passover. You're taking, he says, of the cup, which was in the Passover. This is my blood, the blood of the lamb. This is my flesh, the flesh of the lamb. That's what they did in the Old Testament days, to always take this meal to remember how God saved them out of Egypt. We're taking this meal to always remember how God saved us out of the hand of Pharaoh, the devil, from sin, from death, and to give us eternal life by his almighty outstretched arm. And he even proves that he is the Christ, because he didn't just die any day of the year. He died on the very feast of Passover to prove that he is indeed fulfilling this prophecy for you, that you might have the confidence of salvation. And how about this one? What was the last plague? Here's your quiz. Ready? Getting nervous? What was the last plague before the Passover in the Old Testament? What was the last plague? No, close. Locust was, I think, second to last. Huh? Darkness. A darkness to be felt, it says. Well, what happened? Jesus was on the cross, Mark 15, and when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Just like the plague of darkness that preceded the Passover in the Old Testament, a plague of darkness preceded the death of the Passover lamb in the New Testament. And how about this one? When were the lambs sacrificed in Jerusalem in Jesus' day? At what time of day? My research indicates 3 p.m. That's when they were sacrificed. When did Jesus die? Mark 15, 33. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. The ninth hour. That's Jewish. What is that in our terms? 3 p.m. Pretty amazing. Like the exact time. And just in case any shadow of doubt could possibly remain after Jesus testifies to it, and after John the Apostle testifies to it, Peter says, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world for this, to save you. And Paul testifies in 1 Corinthians 5, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The scriptures testify that Jesus is the Passover lamb. And one more, just to see how amazing this is. If you place Jesus on here as the Passover lamb, you notice where you put the blood on the door? On the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house, matching the blood of his hands on the cross and the blood from his thorn-pierced brow. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And what does this then mean to you? Remember also, he says, interestingly, I am the door of the sheep. As our sheep and our good shepherd, if anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. So what can I tell you today? What does all this mean for you? God has provided for you a Savior, and he's proven it by telling us in this, like we saw in the Day of Atonement and the Four Kingdoms of Daniel, and we'll look at other things probably next month, and the Bronze Serpent, ahead of time, so that when it does take place, you may believe that you really indeed do have a Savior. And when God comes to judge the world, which he's going to do on that last day, and to avenge on it all the blood of what has been slain on the earth and all sin, what does he say in Isaiah 26, prophesying of you? Come, my people, Enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the wrath is past. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose the blood shed upon her and will no more cover her slain. But you will come out like calves leaping from the stall. For if you've believed in Christ and been baptized into him, I declare to you today, the blood covers you. And when God sees that blood, he passes over you. There's no condemnation. You have grace. You've come under the shelter of his wings for protection. And blessed are all those who take refuge in him. God loves you and has sent you the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen.